This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, our post office box number 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour as we worship the Lord together. Our Father, we thank Thee Thou hast brought us to this hour again. Thank You for the past hours gone. You bless it as Thou wilt. Look to Thee, our Father, for strength to deliver Thy message in this hour and to deal with hearts everywhere. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy great salvation, for the life, the joy that we experience in our Lord. We pray that You'll bless this message. Bless every hearer. Be with everyone, our Father, who's sick, those who are ill, and those, our Father, who are bereaved. Be with them. Bless them. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory for Christ's sake. We ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 255 and sing, He Hideth My Soul. 255. Thank you. Now let us turn to number 199 and sing two verses of that song. I heard the voice of Jesus say, 199. You said, I found in him a resting place. Have you? Are you glad? Are you rejoicing in him? You should be. Come on and sing that last. In that light, we'll walk in the light of Christ. Thank you. We were not on the air this morning, the voice of truth. Many wondered why, what happened. And, well, circumstances. We were ready to go on, but circumstances beyond the station's control, that's the reason why we weren't on the air this morning. But perhaps next Sunday morning, we'll be back on the air at 7 o'clock. I praise the Lord that we've been on for the Bible school, and this hour we're here, 11 o'clock, so you tune in next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and hear the voice of truth. I missed it myself. I was waiting home this morning like all of us. But I'm sure that many of us understand. I want to make this announcement. We will have a work day Thursday to get out the Voice of Truth magazine. It'll be Thursday. We are asking everyone who can to come and help us. Come at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock next Thursday morning to get out the Voice of Truth magazine. We appreciate everyone who is able to come and help us to get this magazine out. And thank you for your presence in the past and for the fellowship we enjoyed with everyone. So you come. We'll have dinner and you can spend the day with us getting out the Voice of Truth magazine. And thank you very much. That'll be next Thursday, 9 o'clock. For you in Radio Land, you've been probably waiting to come in and help us. There's your opportunity. You come on in. If you have nothing else to do, come on and help us. Get the Voice of Truth. Now this morning, we want to bring God's message that is laid upon our hearts. And it's a continuation of our Wednesday night service. You know, I read an interesting article yesterday when someone asked a well-known preacher, said, what would you do if all of your young people would leave your assembly? Preaching the gospel, but they became offended by some things. What would you do if your young people left the assembly? If they wouldn't dress like the church stood for? or lived as the church stood for, he said, I tell them goodbye. What else can you do? Preach the gospel. Do not compromise the word of God for no one. And I know if there was anyone who rose up in this audience and said, I won't hear you no more, I'm gone. Goodbye. So are the missions. But the Lord has been laying some peculiar messages upon my heart. Something that's needed for the time, for this day. It's timely because of the influence that it's having in the lives of men and women here and out in radio land. I began Wednesday night. The Lord blessed the message beyond what I thought. I came here prepared just to bring the usual message in the study of 1 John. But the Lord just, I wanted to hold back, as some of you indicated, you noticed, I was holding back something. I got all around it, I talked all around it, but I finally, the Lord just said, just go ahead and speak it out. I guess I would, if I would have gone home without telling it, I would have been miserable. And so I've been troubled in the last few days, two or three days since then. I haven't been able to rest over the matter. Been on my heart. I sleep it, dream it, you might say. And everywhere I go, it was there. The Lord says, now, it's time for it right now. And so I come this morning burdened with the message, burdened for you as God's people, burdened for the awakened sinner. I don't know what stands in your way from getting saved. God knows. And he knows the message that's appropriate for you and for the saints. I don't know why you're not enjoying Christ. Why you're living in doubts and fears and unbelief, probably? I don't know. All the Lord wants us to do is to bring his message and see if things cannot be righted that are wrong. Now, I'll not go into any details to preference to this message, but I want to read to you a scripture from 1 John, the second chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. And I want you to listen. It's God's message to every one of our hearts. It's not me. It's spoken to me. I preach it to myself, and I've searched my own heart, and the Lord wants you to search yours and to confess unto him to do what he wants you to do. In the 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I want us to turn to Romans, the 14th chapter. Beginning with the 7th verse. Romans 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man died to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man, now I want you to get this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now get the great truths as Paul is stating here. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I want to make a statement right now. Don't misinterpret what I'm going to say, because I have all of this on tape. But I will say this. Now, what I'm getting to, you say, preacher, what are you getting to? What are you getting to? Television. Television. A friend of the world. Now you listen, God wants every one of us to hear this morning. Don't close your ears to the truth that I'm going to bring out here. I'm going to give you scriptures. But we're dealing with a problem now that the Lord has been confronting me with for weeks. Of course, I have heard some remarks the other day, but it was nothing that God hadn't already dealt with my heart about. Last fall, now don't get me wrong, don't misinterpret what I'm going to say. Dr. Copeland is a very good friend of mine. He always will be, and he'll always be welcome here. Now, he stood in this pulpit here to declare that he told you he had a TV. But he also said this. He said, if your conscience bother you, don't you get one. And I believe, as I've heard, that there are many who took that as a reason for them to go out and buy their TVs. Well, he's got one, I can have one. He's a great preacher, he's a man of God, therefore I can have one. Now let me tell you something, as God's children, if you're a child of God, you do not gauge your actions and your conduct in regards to another man's actions and conduct. The Bible is our guideline and not the actions of men. What is good for one might not be good for you. Now you listen. There are individuals, sinners, stumbling over the sins being committed by saints. It could be your own children in your home. And I'm going to tell you the reason. Now, I do not have a TV because I know what it would do in my home. Perhaps not now, but I know it would have done years ago if I would have gotten one. God convicted me of that. Even after he saved me, there was a longing in my heart to want to get a TV. I had to lay it before the Lord, rest it before him, pray over it. I never did go around and say, well, you know, he's got a TV. Why can't I have one? You don't judge your actions upon another's. Whoever heard of such? If you're a child of God, you judge your actions according to the Word of God. And your life is conducted after the Word of God. And I dare say that some of you have been convicted of it before, and because you say, now the pastor's gone home, and therefore the restraint is lifted, and I can go out and get what I want now, and I can get me a TV, and nothing will be said about it. But there's some of you that you know you're not right. You know you got one, and it's not right. And your conscience bothers you. Dr. Coleman said, if your conscience bothers you, you better not get it. And brother, I know if I would have got one, my conscience would kill me. Because I know God convicted me. Now, how is it that you tell me that God convicted you of it before he saved you, or even after he saved you, and you didn't get it because of that? And then, because somebody makes an announcement to that effect, it gave you a license to get one, then what in the world, what kind of convictions did you have in the beginning? God doesn't change. He doesn't change one bit. Now, I'm going to go into this, and I want you to listen about television, a friend of the world. Television's a friend of the world. I want you to just listen. Just keep your Bibles quietly closed, and you listen to me. In Ecclesiastes 7:25, Solomon declared, I applied mine heart to know, and to search, and to seek out wisdom and the reasons of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Now this desire comes to the wise man because of the many influences of evil which continually surrounded him. And if you're a wise man, wise in the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. One cannot read the earlier chapters of this book without being impressed with the many influences which the author faced, Solomon faced in his day, and all saints of faith faced through the ages, even today. We're faced with things, confronted by things that are not good for us as God's people. And in the midst of these voices which sought his attention and affections, Solomon purposed to know. to search and to seek. But no, we do a thing quickly without giving it any thought, without searching, and without wanting the knowledge to know the reasons for it. Why does God convict me of such? Why he withholds us and restrains us from such? He wanted to make the right decision. He wanted to be able to give the reason for his decision. Now, I'm sure this morning that any honest thinking individual will confess that we are surrounded by many influences today, few of which are good, but many of which are evil. All right, we must study these influences in the light of the Bible teaching, scriptures. We must, every one of us, make a definite choice as to the way we'll go. Every one of us. Noah, Moses, Joshua, and others made their choice when many influences sought to turn them aside. Now you listen to me. You young people, listen to me now. And just listen. We must give the reason for our choice. I know some will say, well, I just don't care about TV. I just don't care to have it in my house. That's all. That's not, but we don't gauge that decision by such. I know a lot of people don't care for TV, just don't care for it. That's all, in their home. Just like people do not care for drinking or smoking, just don't care for it. There's no reason. Just don't care for it. Now you listen. But we must give a reasons for our choice. The believer. You who know the Lord. You say you know him. Or you say you want to know him. Many today reject the dance. I dare say there's not a person here. Maybe with one or two exceptions who go to the dance. Enjoy yourself on the dance. Many reject the dance. You may reject the skating rink with all of its noise and rousing, the television, and last day evils. But too few take time or thought to state their reasons. Why? Now, one of the most recent and by far the most damning influence of our day today is the television. Now, we'll give you the reasons why we oppose television. And has always been that way ever since I've known, since 20 years ago before God saved me, as to where this church has stood. Just like not only that, but other things that have influence upon the souls of men today that are damning the soul to hell. Now, we oppose television because of those who control its programs. Now, you listen. Those who control its programs. With few exceptions, the programs are sponsored by tobacco and liquor organizations, promoted by Hollywood film companies, and played by the stars of the screen. My, oh my, oh my, how can a child of God sit before those things? I cannot understand. And not feel convicted and guilty. I could no more sit and watch something like that. All that lust, all that sex, all that dancing, all those miniskirts, all that drinking, all that propaganda, everything in the world, get my fool with such something like that and say, I know the Lord, and sit there and enjoy it? Now you listen to me. To accept television and oppose the movie is only to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. How many won't even go to movies in here? But how many has got TVs in your home? You're bringing the world, the movies, and everything in your house. God help us. If anyone is worse than the other, it would be the television. Because you can keep the movie out of your home. You don't have to go to them. And the influence is not as continual. Like all other world influences, the television is habit-forming. Did you know that? Just like smoking, it's habit-forming. Drinking. You give the fellow the first drink, and then he likes the taste, he'll go on from that and get more. The same way as in TV. Except TV has got a greater influence upon you. Did you know that? You see with the eyes. Now listen, school teachers acknowledge that they can point out the children who come from homes in which this satanic monster dwells. The children, having watched the screen until late hours, are sleepy. They're inactive and unprepared for schoolwork. I know I worked on the job at the newspaper. I tell you, sometimes you hate to come in the morning. That's all they had to talk about, what they saw on the TV screen the night before. Oh, this lust story, or this and that. And oh, that, and they were up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. They could hardly stay awake. We are rapidly becoming a nation of slaves, mastered by certain television programs which only cause nervousness, distress, and even insanity has been proven. Nervousness caused you nervous. People say, I watch the TV because I'm nervous. It calms my nerves. It does no such things. It makes you all that much more nervous. You take our kids who are allowed to look at TV up to late hours of night and see these mad stories. These midnight stories and things like that, these frantic stories, these crimes and killings. You don't think that work on their minds? They go to bed and try to sleep, they dream, they scream and everything else. I know what I'm talking about. Make nervous bats out of them, nervous children. The reason for watching this monstrosity is to satisfy the sensual nature of a carnal heart. We oppose television because of its influence. The television is having a threefold influence. Now listen. Now you listen to me. First, upon the home. Second, upon the church. And third, upon society. In the home, the television is becoming the outstanding attraction. Going to home? I don't like to go to homes. Sometimes you got TVs right out in the front room. You got to sit down with them. I praise the Lord for those that I go, whose homes I do go into. They may have a TV. I'm not talking about the saints. I'm talking about people, my relatives and all. But they'll turn it off out of respect, knowing that what we stand for. But I could never go into a home and have to sit down in front of a TV and watch a TV. I just want to get up and walk out, and sometime I'll do that. But that's the first attraction in the home. They think when you come to visit with them that you come to see TV with them and sit down and watch the TV, and they might want to serve you a bottle of beer with it or something, and then there you are. So that's going to be a great attraction in our homes. Our children in the home are separated by TV. They each got their TV in their homes. Some of them got in their closets. I've heard of that. Some of the saints who claim to be saved, they got their TVs in their closets. They won't show it out in the front room or in the bedrooms. They'll hide it in the closet where nobody can see it. Now, that's hypocrisy there. There's something wrong in the first place. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to hide it. The Lord's telling you to get rid of it. And the Lord's not going to let you alone until you get rid of it. Yes, the television is becoming the outstanding attraction. It has its influence upon every member of the family. Let me tell you, let me ask you, are you saved? When you sit around the table, do you talk about the Lord? Do you talk about what you saw on TV? Or while you're eating, you got your TV on. That's all you can see. There's no communication among you around the table. See what I mean? That's right. God says he wants you to get rid of it. God says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He don't want you to follow the world. One member, there was a chaplain of a house of correction, said crime and sex exploitation on television are more dangerous to American youth than the atomic bomb. And that's true. This influence has been great on the church. You say, well, how? Interest in prayer meetings is lacking. I wonder how many of you could be here on Wednesday nights and study the Word of God together and listen, or be at the missions and be there and listen to the Word of God. But no, you want to stay home because there's a favorite program there that comes on. Or there's a baseball game or football game you want to see. And you'll deny yourself the pleasure and the benefit and the blessings that come with being in the house of God, studying the Word of God together and enriching your life in something that's worthwhile. Now you see what we have to battle against today? You see why the heart of God's people are grieved, those who are walking with the Lord, because of the conduct of others? This church house tonight ought to be filled with your presence. Wednesday night ought to be filled with your presence. If at all possible you could be here instead of staying home and you just had to see a football game. You just had to see a baseball game. You just had to see this and see that. Or the astronauts are going up to the moon and everything else. You deny yourself of the privilege of being here in the house of the Lord. What if I would stay home and do those things? You wouldn't have nobody here to lead you. You come here and I'll be gone. And you say, well, the preacher's down there looking at TV. He's watching the astronauts, or he's watching a favorite football game or a baseball game. What do you think of me then? We're all in this thing together. We pull together, we'll go ahead. But we fight together and have these things to divide the church, then the work of God is not advancing like it ought to. But listen to me. Listen here. Interest in prayer meetings is lacking, and church attendance is decreasing because of favorite television programs. Many of our churches at night are having to close up on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights because enough people are not going. Isn't that something? Isn't that terrible? Now you see the influence that TV, the devil is behind it, to keep men blinded by the God of this world, by himself. Now do you see the reasons? Brother, if you have a television set for the accommodation of your family, don't mock God and the church by asking your pastor and the church to pray for them, for your children. You are doing more in 1 week to damn them, to damn their souls to hell than the church can ever do to save them. And that's true. You mean to tell me you got a big TV in your home and your children are laughing and jolly and imitating and having their fun and their worldly fun and everything else, and you come to your pastor and you ask your pastor to pray for them? I'll tell you first to get rid of that TV. Because what you're doing, you're putting a stumbling block before them. That's why I read that portion over in Romans there. Anything that causes, that denies an individual the right to salvation in Christ, if you put a stumbling block before that individual and causes them to fall and to draw back, then look what you've done. Some of you denied your children the right to be saved because you've given them the world. You've given them the world to satisfy them, to keep them quiet. Now, we oppose television because of the command of God's word. After this consideration, we must conclude that this is a device of the world. It is neither spiritual in its nature nor holy in its influence. Its programs are planned by worldly minds, produced by worldly characters, and propagated by worldly enterprises. The scriptures continually warn the church to love not the world and to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now that's just scripture. You say, have you got scripture for? There it is. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Some of you don't even celebrate Christmas, but you'll have the TV in there during that pageantry season, and you'll see all of that. Your children will see all of that, and you just want that in there. But you won't put up a tree, or you won't do this, and you won't do that. You see what hypocrisy that is? Train up a child in the way it should go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now let me close with a tenfold test for television. You listen. May God, the Holy Spirit, search every one of our hearts. I know He searched mine, and I praise Him for it. That I say that my heart and my mind is cleared from these things before Him. All right, does it make me more spiritual? By having a TV in your home, does it make you more spiritual? If ye then be arisen with Christ, seek those things which are above, as Colossians 3:1 tells us. Set not your affections upon things of this earth, but set your affections upon things above. Second, is this for the glory of the Lord? Does God get glory out of you having a TV in your home? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now that's true. Now that's instructions for every one of us who name the name of Christ here. Let me repeat again. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Does it give me a greater burden of prayer and make it easier to pray through after an evening of such entertainment? I dare say it does not. You look at TV for a couple, 2 or 3 hours there, or 1 hour, and let the world come in front of you with all of its lusts and all of its advertising and everything and all of its fun and pleasures, and you cut that thing off, you think you're in the right spirit of prayer? You're certainly not. I tell you what it does do. It takes away that spirit of prayer. It takes away that burden for your children or for the lost, a burden for the ministry. Now, I'm telling you thus according to the Word of God. All right, does it give me greater burden of prayer and make it easier to pray after an evening of such entertainment? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Do I feel that I have had fellowship with spiritual people after looking at TV, or while you're looking at it? Are you having fellowship with spiritual people, or are you having fellowship with the world? Have no fellowship with the workers of unrighteousness with the workers of darkness, but reprove them. All right, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. All right, does it draw my children to God? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Does it instruct my family in God's word and God's way of salvation? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, I'll tell you something. Just come to my mind that I heard the other day. There's an individual that went out and bought a TV set who claimed to be saved or claimed to be wanted to be saved. And this was a few months ago. Ever since he got that TV set, you didn't see his face at services no more. Quit tithing. Now you see the influence that TV had upon this poor soul? And I'm sure his conscience is bothering him right now. If he's listening in, I hope he is. The best thing you could do is get rid of that thing and put yourself back in the service and start tithing. And God will lead you. God bless you. God will give you victory over it. All right, does it instruct my family in God's word and God's way of salvation? All right, listen to the word of God. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, the word of God. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Is it popular with the people of the world? Is TV popular with the people of the world? All right, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. By purchasing and using the television, am I spending my money and time to advance God's kingdom in my life and in the lives of others? Are you spending your money on that? You go out and you buy your big TV set. You got to make payments on that. Then you got to pay your for the electricity that thing uses, that extra amount that you can be contributing to God's work. They got people who buy these things, they don't even give to the church. They don't tithe because they can't afford it, they tell you. I got this and I got that and I got this. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully watching your steps, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And you'll find that in Ephesians 5:15-16. Listen, my friends, perilous times are here. Men are lovers of themselves. And when you find an individual that's a lover of themselves, of their self, they are not saved. Times are coming when men shall be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, selfish. That's the world. And they're lost. The days are evil. Now, in view of the Lord's return, what manner of men should we be? Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always. You can't do that looking at the TV. You certainly can't. that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You find that in Luke 21, 34, 36. And then another scripture, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 4, 7. Herein is our love made perfect, that ye may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our Lord is holy as he is. He's righteous. And therefore, his people are righteous in this world. Their habits are righteous habits. He habitually practices righteousness. He's not practicing evil. He's not following the world. He's not asking for the world. He's not asking for the pleasures of this world. As he is, Christ is, so are we in this world. Our affections are upon things above and not upon this world. Our living is according unto his will, his way. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And then finally, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I want to read this to you. The Lord gives us a command here with a promise. Let me quote it to you. If my people which are called by my name, now listen to me, saint. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, I've been praying this week. Oh, my Lord, give us a heaven-born sent revival in our midst. Give us a spiritual awakening that will shove aside and sweep away everything, every influence that influenced the heart of thy people. Give us a spirit of prayer. Give us a spirit, a compassionate for lost souls. You don't know how I've been crying for you, who say you're saved. You say you want to be saved. I'm asking the Lord to convict you and convince you of those things that have the wrong influence upon your life, that you'll get right with God and with him and walk with him. You tell me you want to walk with God. You tell me you want to know where he's going, and you want to find out where he's going, and you want to follow after him. Well, brother, there's much repentance that has to take place. There's much confession of sin that has to take place. There's much of self that has to go, that has to leave. Much of our self-centeredness. We must be more Christ-like, more God-like, if we're going to walk with him. Take up your cross and follow him. Let the world laugh at us, despise us, scorn us. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me under heaven and earth. Said, I'll get you home at last, and I'll give you power over men, over the devil, all of his temptations, all of his influences. You walk with me. And he said, I'll rain righteousness down from heaven, and I will forgive your sin and heal your land and save your children, your people. Oh, may God help us and lead us in this hour. We have to leave you in radio land. Be back with us next Sunday morning, 7 to 8 for the Voice of Truth broadcast, 10 o'clock Bible School of the Air, and the 11 o'clock worship hour. Let us hear from you. Until that time, may God bless you. Turn to Him. Our time is gone. I brought the message that God laid upon my heart. But listen, love not the world. Love not the world. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth to the affairs and enticements of it. Mortify them, die to them. Let the Holy Spirit put them to death. There it is. There it is. God's confronted us with it this morning. There it is. It's a viper. It's a snake. Our love for God should be unreservedly and not to waste it upon the world. That is the world systems which are under the control of Satan. And that is exactly. TV has such an influence upon the hearts of men of today. It influenced their conducts and their actions in this life. Do you know when the Antichrist comes upon the scene? Praise God, I won't be here. His picture shall be flashed upon every screen throughout this nation. They shall be influenced by that picture, drawn to him by that picture, the power of that picture. Bow to him. It's an evil of this day. TV, television, is a friend of the world. Now you remember that. And God's troubled your heart. You've been doing your soul a great favor, denying yourself that privilege, that harm in your home. I don't want it in my home. And I know some of you have heads of your home. You may be a saved wife. You may have a husband who's not saved. Have one? Well, there's nothing you can do about that. But if it's under your power, within your power, to take it or leave it, then it's your duty as a Christian to let it go. This ministry has stood for that through the years. God's blessed it. He's kept us from the world, from the carnal pleasures of this life, and he's blessed us. His power is with us. His presence is with us. His grace is leading us. And he's leading us on home with him. And may God enable you by his grace, give you grace, and he giveth grace to make the right decision. Make it on the side of truth, on the side of Christ. And as all other saints of God have made it in the past, you make it today. As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. May God lead you. Let's stand. Our Father, we deliver the message you've laid upon our hearts. We thank you for it. And we trust it in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, only thee can move hearts. Only thee, our Father, can change the attitude and the actions of people, of thy people, of awakened sinners, to do thy will. We trust thee at this time. Thank you for saving us. Thank thee, our Father, for warning us against the evils of this day. O Lord Jesus, what would it be for your grace if you would not kindly warn us of the dangers of Satan and of his host of evil companions? Our Lord, deliver us from all the evil. All power, all glory, all honor belongeth unto thee. In Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.